Well, for the first time in its history, the Sydney Peace Prize will be awarded to a movement rather than an individual. The Black Lives Matter phrase and hashtag was first coined in a social media post against the acquittal of George Zimmerman for the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin 4 years ago. The movement against racial inequality and police violence in the US, which began as a powerful hashtag, has gone international. During a visit to Australia last year, one of the founders of the movement saw parallels in the social and economic inequalities faced by both African Americans and Aboriginal Australians, particularly in relation to mass incarceration. Kazembe Jackson is a leader of the movement in Atlanta, Georgia. Kazembe, how did you get involved with the movement?
I got involved in the movement around the time of the acquittal of George Zimmerman also. And I was living in a small town in Tennessee, and I just remember being so angry. I was so angry when Trayvon Martin was murdered a month after he was murdered, and we were trying to find a way to get them to arrest George Zimmerman. It's really when we started working kind of under the hashtag of Black Lives Matter, but it was when George Zimmerman got acquitted that I realized, along with a lot of other young black people, that we couldn't rely on the criminal justice system to protect us or to defend our lives. And so at that point, I think, is when I was motivated to do more than just kind of protest.
And with the movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, what are some of the objectives it's working towards?
The Black Lives Matter is really a call to action. One of our co-founders, Patrice Cullors, says often that it's a call to action and a tool where we can reimagine a world where black people are free to exist and live, and also as a tool for our allies to be able to show up for us. And so, you know, it's just a positive affirmation that says that black lives also matter. And I think that when we believe that Black Lives Matter as the organizers who work within the network, we also have to start believing that our own lives matter. And so we show up in a different way. And so that's what we mean by a call to action. It's like, not only are we letting other folks know that our lives matter, but we have to act and show up in a way that shows that they do also.
There's obviously something when you saw the emergence of this movement that really attracted you to it. We're always drawn to political activism around the issues that are close to our heart. What is it about this that is close to your heart?
I think a number of things. I'm a black, southern, queer, trans man, so I present very masculine. And when Trayvon Martin was murdered, when Mike Brown was murdered, those two in particular looked a whole lot like my nephews and my younger cousins, and really like I did when I was a little bit younger. And so it just felt like these things are happening to people who could be my relatives, who could be me, and it just became really personal for me. Also at that time, a group, Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, put out a report called Operation Ghetto Storm that stated that every 28 hours a black person was being killed by either the police or a vigilante. And so it just went from, you know, these kind of horrible stories that we hear of every now and then, to knowing that every day almost a black person was being killed by the police or a vigilante. And we know that since then, that was in 2013, we know that that number has significantly increased now that we're able to get more reports.
Because one of the things that the Black Lives Matter movement faced as it gained momentum was the emergence of a counter-movement, All Lives Matter. What was your response to that, and why do you think people supported that initiative?
You know, I think that whenever a marginalized group identifies the fact that they are marginalized and decides that they want to move out of the margins, it always is going to scare those who are in power, or those who are a part of the dominant group. I think that that's happened throughout history, and I don't think that it's any different with Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter was not a statement to say that black lives are the only lives that matter. Black Lives Matter was a statement to say that even though this country and the police and the government don't treat us as if black lives do matter, we know that they do, and we're going to fight to make sure that the policies and the people who enforce them recognize that they do. Almost as if you could put an also on the end of it to be like Black Lives Matter also. I think the people with the message of all lives matter, I don't think that we disagree that other people's lives matter. I think where the tension is if all lives do matter, then why are some lives treated with more privilege than others? And I think that's the question that Black Lives Matter asks. And we really try to build campaigns that actually add value to the lives of Black people. And we believe that as we add value to the lives of Black people, we add value to the lives of everyone, kind of like a bottom-up type of model. And so, you know, we have a common phrase that we use that was coined by Fannie Lou Hamer, which is that, you know, nobody's free until we're all free. And so if Black people get free, everyone gets free. If Black people's lives matter, then that means everyone who is kind of positioned socially above us in this kind of like social stratification, that their lives also matter too.
It probably wasn't a surprise that the movement had such momentum in the United States, where this seems to be a fairly universal issue around the treatment of Black people. But did it surprise you about the international appeal of the movement? And why do you think it's become such a global phenomenon?
I think that you can't really tell what is going to pick up momentum. I don't think that people have figured out what that exact scientific kind of equation is that determines what goes viral. But I think with Black Lives Matter in particular, because it is an affirmative message, it's not really saying anything negative. It's just saying that, you know, Black lives do matter. And we know that racism and anti-Blackness is a global phenomenon. So when you think about folks in different places in the world, they still have a social or some type of caste system where Black people are treated differently than other folks. And so I think that it makes sense that a message that says that Black lives do matter would go global, because there are Black people all over the world who have been told, and not only told, but shown through practices, through structural racism, through state violence, that their lives don't matter. And so, again, you know, Black Lives Matter, if it's a call to action, then it's not just a call to action to Black Americans. It's a call to Black people everywhere to stand up and to make sure that our governments and that the people who enforce the laws that we make treat us as if our lives do matter.
There has been a long history of exchange between Aboriginal Australians and African Americans that go back to interest in the ideas of Marcus Garvey during the 1920s and strong affiliations and associations with the Black Panthers in the 1970s. What sorts of exchanges are going on today?
I personally haven't connected with any Australian folks, but I know that some of our co-founders have made a few trips to and from Australia trying to really build those relationships. And I think that one of the things about Black Lives Matter is that we don't organize in a way to get productivity in a way where the relationships are transactional, but instead we build deep connections, and we'd rather build deep, and Grace Lee Boggs used to say she'd rather we build a mile deep and an inch wide instead of a mile wide and an inch deep. So we really make these deep connections with folks, and that takes time. And so I think that those relationships are building. I know that they are building with folks in the UK as well. I just went to the UK in March, actually, to do some work with some BLM folks over there as well. And so, you know, we have folks coming to the United States. We travel to different countries as we're trying to build those out and also see what makes sense, because Black Lives Matter, the global network, wants to be able to facilitate folks fighting state violence or fighting against anti-Blackness in the ways that it makes sense where they are, because we recognize that the Black American experience is not necessarily synonymous with the Black experience in every other country.
Kasamba, you talk about the way in which thinking about your nephews sort of a big part of your interest in getting involved with this. You talk about the movement as a call to action. When you think about the sort of America you would like to live in, what sorts of changes are you hoping to achieve? What would that America look like?
I think the America that I would like to live in is one where all people could walk down the street in whatever kind of clothes they want to wear and be safe, that our communities would be protecting and defending one another, but we didn't need police to even come in to worry about police brutality. I think it's an America where education is important and accessible to everyone, regardless of the ability to pay. I think basic needs are met: food, water, land, air, a house, those kind of things. I think those things are met for folks, whether or not they have the ability to work in order to get them or not. I think that we would be in a place where people are taken care of and where everyone is treated like we actually see the humanity in everyone, regardless of their race or their class or their gender or sexuality. I just think that it would be a place where equality was actually center instead of all of the other things like capital or racism the way it is now.
And just finally, what will winning the Sydney Peace Prize mean to the Black Lives Matter movement?
You know, it's a tremendous honor. Like, it's really amazing. The idea that it's the first time that it's a movement and not a person that's been awarded the Peace Prize is such an honor. And then with former winners being people like Noam Chomsky and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, it's an honor. And I think it shows other people who are maybe looking at Black Lives Matter to try to understand what we're doing and what we're trying to do, that what we're actually doing is building a movement for racial equality. And Black Lives Matter has made this conversation around state violence and racism one that can be had in a lot of different ways in a lot of different places. And I just think that receiving the award is just really, it's a huge honor. It's a huge honor. And I want to say that even for some folks who maybe haven't been paying attention to the work that Black Lives Matter is doing, I hope that this is something that kind of draws their attention a little bit to get to know what we're really about and maybe join and help us to fight against state violence and to make sure that all Black lives do matter.
Well, it's certainly been a movement that struck a chord with many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here in Australia. So thank you for all your good work with it, and thank you so much for being with us this evening on Speaking Out.
Sure, it's been an absolute pleasure. You all have a good day.
It's Kazembe Jackson, who's the leader of the Black Lives Matter movement in Atlanta, Georgia.